installing form and effectiveness without tanking the month. Join passionate automotive trainer and coach Andrew Uglow as he tackles one of the hardest questions facing service departments. How do you close the form and capability gap without pulling a critical person out of the workshop and creating even more chaos? In this episode, you'll learn why training alone is not enough, why coaching works differently, and why the first improvements often show up in the silly mistakes, unforced errors, and comebacks that quietly drain the bottom line. Discover how micro moments, practical frameworks, and ongoing accountability can help form and build capability while staying connected to the real work of the workshop. Along the way, you'll hear why automotive may be one of the few performance-driven industries still underusing coaching where it matters most. I'm your co-host, Anthony Pearl, and this is the Frictionless Workshop Podcast. Let's get cranking.
Andrew, let's talk about this concept of installing form and effectiveness without tanking the month. And I know we've alluded to it in previous episodes. There's a bunch of research and things that you want to bring out in this particular episode as well. But let's start by understanding what this is, installing form and effectiveness. What does that actually mean? And then how do you do it without tanking the month?
Yeah, so it's funny. I feel a little bit like, and I'm sure I've said this before, Haley Joel Osment from the movie The Sixth Sense with Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis. And there's a scene, it's like a critical scene in the movie where Haley Joel Osment unpacks this enormous burden that he carries. And he sort of says in this quiet whisper, like hesitant, worried about the pushback that he's going to get. He says, I see dead people and they talk to me, but they don't know that they're dead. And I feel a little bit like that because you ask me these questions, Anthony, and I go, Anthony, I see patterns and other people can't see them and they don't know that they're there. And so you go, well, how do I install formanship without screwing my month over? And it's not just the figures, right? Sure, it's the figures that matters, right? We're a business. We're not there because we want to hold hands and beat drums and give primal screams and get in touch with our inner child, right? We're there to make money. Like it's a financial game, but it's also the customer. You know what it's like to be without your car. You know the stress and the grief that happens when your car isn't available or breaks down or what. Like this is a big issue. This ripples into all sorts of different areas. That again, that's perhaps a discussion over a beverage in a venue somewhere, but. We haven't, firstly, the first point to make is we haven't installed effectiveness for foremen. We have a capability gap and it shows up in all of the elements that we don't have measures for. So staff turn, technician engagement, trust, reliability, attitude, experience. These are all symptoms of the foreman capacity gap. And so the challenge becomes for dealers. Okay, so I'm going to close my gap. How do I do it? If I take my foreman out of the workshop, I just compound my problems. If I go, foreman, go to a two-day training class and we'll kind of save everything for you for when you get back. And the foreman comes back to the stuff's hit the fan and there's a very unpleasant brown mist in the air. It's a right mess. And the foreman's now scrambling. They're so busy trying to solve stuff and pick stuff and get things back on an even keel that they don't get the opportunity to go and practice what they do. They're back in this rush, urgency stuff. And at the same time, the business just lost a foreman for however many days productivity. And that has a very significant impact. And Deloitte's talking about this. And Errol, again, if you're listening to this episode, Errol from Complete Dealer Services, we're seeing people with a 0.4 margin on their gross, on the dealership gross. Now, 0.4, that doesn't give you a lot of margin, right? You're really riding the ragged edges of disaster. You take someone that has a direct impact on profitability and productivity out of the business for 2 days. I mean, ouch. Like anyone who's even loosely in touch with their inner Scotsman is turning pale and shaking their head going, no, no, no. You can't afford to do that. So this, and here's the crunch, right? We don't measure the failures. We don't have a line item for stuff that went wrong in the workshop that cost me a lot of money. And there's a dollar figure there. We don't have a line item for that. So we've got this unmeasured component creating this influence that I'm not addressing, but I'm still suffering the consequences of. And so the solution, and finally they go, Andrew, finally he's getting to the solution. The solution isn't to do training. The solution is to do coaching. Because coaching leaves my foreman in the business. I can take them out in small chunks, so micro moments, hour and a half. And I can work with the foreman at a personal level, and I can help them learn the skills that they need to know, practice the skills that they need to know so that they're not conducting ungodly experiments on the technical team, right? They get to practice it with a coach. They can understand the frameworks and the pieces that were missing for them. Because when I talk to foremen and I ask, you know, they tell me about all these problems, you know, that I told them once 1,000 times, I told them this is happening, that's happening. My service advisors are this and my service managers that, and the parts people are suboptimal and they've got all these stresses. And I go, well, how are you going to manage that? And they look at me blankly. They don't have a structure. They don't have a framework. They don't have a means to address the capability gap that they are experiencing personally. Now, hear me right. We're not suggesting that the workshop operation is an absolute nightmare. It runs well enough. It does okay. We hit the numbers. We do good. But I go back to what I said in one of the earlier episodes where the foreman is, and even the service manager, it's the duck on the pond, calm, serene, but under the water, paddling like nuts. And that has a cost, which doesn't show up on your spreadsheet, but it does show up when they leave or break down or throw in the towel. I'm not going to be foreman anymore. I had enough. Put me back on the tools. And I guarantee you that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of service managers out there listening to this who that has been their exact experience. And so how do you install foreman capability? Well, you do it with coaching. Coaching, Anthony, you tell me, how effective is coaching?
It's so incredibly effective. And for those listening in, that's how Andrew and I first met, was through shared coaching at the time. It's something that personally I believe every business owner should have. And certainly I can see the value at the level that we're talking about here. Coaching is something that filters all the way through, because if you don't have a coach, you're just winging it. Yep. And you're not having the opportunity to learn from others and the mistakes they've made. And it's funny how, again, I'm going to use the football analogy. It's funny how we accept it from, you know, under fives all the way through to, you know, right through to international level. We all accept that there is a coach, even though, particularly at international level, these are the best of the best, but they still have a coach. And that's true in business as well as it is in sport. And it's true for a reason.
Yeah, right. You take the elite tennis players, how many coaches do they have? You take the elite cricketers, how many coaches do they have? How many different coaches are there for your football team? Like, if you want performance, there's a reason that I don't know, who do you barrack for in NRNL?
I'm a Manly fan. So I'm the one that everyone else hates. That's the truth. We still lead it.
I appreciate that. I'm a Collingwood fan too. So I just have more teeth and less tattoos than most of them. But there's a reason that they don't. Yeah, they have fitness trainers, sure. But they have fitness coaches, and they have mindset coaches and dietary coaches. They do it through a coaching frame. Here you go, Anthony. A question without notice, on the spot. Show me an industry that doesn't use a coaching to get performance.
Struggle to find one.
I can think of two. Politics. Although arguably they do have speech coaches, dress coaches, all that sort of stuff, so they look and sound good.
Depends where you are.
That doesn't mean they know what they're doing.
And I think there is an important differentiation too between coaching and mentoring. And I think there's probably some of those that it would exist in the political landscape that might be more in the mentoring category, but not necessarily coaching. And I think that is an important thing. It perhaps speaks to the level of politicians we have, but let's not go into politics.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but I find myself a little bit upset for reasons. Yeah. So the two industries were politics and something else. The second industry that doesn't use it is automotive. And I have one of those Microsoft blue circles. I was like, why? Why isn't there coaching for service managers? Like, I'm not just talking intervention teams. I'm talking ongoing development for leadership, for financial management, for skills management, for like, why don't we coach our service advisors? And sure, we come in and we do a training program or a coaching program, but is that enough? Is that really working? And better than nothing, but gosh, how much can you learn in a one-day session? Can you take someone who is a suboptimal operator and turn them into an optimal operator or a near optimal operator? I'm going to argue no.
Well, one of the important things that happens in a one-day event is that you get really excited and you walk away from that day and go, this is fantastic. I've learned this, this, and this. But 2 weeks later, you haven't had a chance to do anything about it. 3 weeks later, you've forgotten all about it. Coaching is the difference because it's ongoing and it's, as you say, it's small, manageable chunks that you can implement slowly but surely and have positive change that happens. And there's a level of accountability that can go alongside of that, which is so critical.
The Frictionless Workshop podcast is brought to you by Solutions Culture. For details on how to get in touch with Andrew, consult the show notes below. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Now, back to the podcast.
Accountability is vital, but also the ability to talk to someone not in the business and go, hey, I'm really struggling with this and I don't know what to do. Because that's a really hard conversation to have with your manager. Because how many managers know how to look after that? Leaders might, maybe. But I don't know too many people that go to HR and go, oh, look, I'm having a really bad day. Can you help me? Certainly technicians, because, and perhaps, look, I know that this is a generational thing for sure, that the your millennials, your Zs and your soon-to-be alphas are far more in touch with their inner person and their feelings and sensations and are more likely to complain and talk about that. But certainly for Xs like myself and even some Ys, you don't, that's a sign of weakness. You don't do that. And conversely, where is you millennials and your Zs that are doing this? Well, do you have an effective method and framework for helping them manage that, to manage their state? We spoke about triage earlier. Well, do you have some strategies and tactics that when they're not having a good time, when they're really, really struggling, well, they've actually got some resource that they can turn to that can help them get them back on track rather than just taking a mental health day? Not that there's anything inherently wrong with that, but from a financial perspective, that doesn't give you the numbers that you need. And so I want to point to, we talk about how to get effectiveness, foreman effectiveness, how to close the foreman capability gap. You do it with coaching. And here we go, shameless self-promotion. I designed a coaching program specifically for foreman. It doesn't work for anyone else. It was never intended to. It doesn't work for service managers. It doesn't work for service advisors. It doesn't work for your parts team. It just is for foreman because foreman are the middle child. And I don't say that to be critical. I say that because it's reality. Your apprentices get all this attention. They get all this training. They get all this coaching. They get all this mentoring, and they need it. And the technicians get all this technical training. They get these resources. They get all this help and support. And the foreman gets that, but they don't get anything for the 80% of their job, which is the people part. And I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. I just go, you really? That's a facepalm moment. You know, it's like, no, what? Much like you're not tracking the types of comebacks you have? Really? And so we call it the professional foreman method. And it is a coaching program designed for foremen to increase foreman effectiveness and close the foreman capability gap. And we do it with coaching. Now, I'm a trainer. I've had to go and learn how to coach because training isn't going to solve this. And I can say that as someone who's been training automotive professionals and automotive technical professionals for decades. If I was to count up, and we did a fairly subjective count just recently, I'm closing on 40,000 technical professionals I've had in my training class. So I know what works and I know what doesn't work, and training doesn't work for foremen. Simple as that. Let me throw in a Deloitte for you. So Deloitte's very big with their Academy of Excellence and a whole bunch of other courses that they run. They are very, very big on data, as you would be from an accounting firm. There was recently a article in Go Auto, and I want to lay out Lee Peters. So Lee Peters is a partner at Deloitte, and they were looking at the financial state of the business. I'm looking at the article as just a brief summary of what they were talking about. But the net result was that there is a very distinct difference between the top 30% of dealers and others. And that line is splitting, is diverging. And whilst everyone has access to the technology, everyone has access to the data, everyone has access to the systems, everyone has best practice processes, KPIs, benchmarks, all of the other things that towards helping the dealership perform. Mr. Peters' description of, well, how do we address this gap? How do we, one, keep the people who are performing, and how do we then help the people who are not yet performing at what they're capable of to perform? He makes this statement and he says, the path ahead is defined by strategic productivity and robust talent management. Earlier on, he says that talent attraction and retention emerge as decisive factors. So don't take it from me, take it from Mr. Peters, who's a bit of a guru, can I offer? If you're not creating the people that you need in the business, you're at a huge disadvantage, because the businesses that are doing well, they're not just finding the right people. Sure, there's some of that. They're making the right people. So how do you make the right people? You coach them. And you coach them for as long as it takes to get the results, because they will. Coaching doesn't produce an outcome overnight, not like training can. Coaching is a commitment, but it also produces better results. It helps cement in terms of retention, because the person's got a reason to be there. We spoke about reward, recognition, and resources. If you don't say to your foreman, hey, appreciate that you've got a really tough job, we'd love to get you a coach who can help you perform in this job, how do you reckon they feel? Do they feel recognized? Do they feel rewarded? Do they feel resourced? And if you've got a quality foreman now, or a foreman that's working on their quality, well, that's going to cascade down into your team. It cannot not, if the coaching is effective. And so, Anthony, ask me a question about what I should be tracking when I coach my foreman.
Should you be tracking, Andrew?
Great question, Anthony. What are the first things that shifts? One of the first things that shifts is the amount, tennis call it unforced errors, but it's the amount of silly mistakes that slipped through. And so that'll show up internally, like the ones that you caught, but it'll also show up in the ones that the customer caught and came back upset about. That'll be the first thing. Deloitte's talk about a 12 to 15% or 12 to 17% comeback rate, because there's parts outside of their control. We'd like zero, right? But you watch that number in 6 months start to shift. And well, you would know your gross profit out of the business, out of the workshop over a 12-month period. If you could add 3%, 5% to that gross profit number, what would that do to your bottom line? Because that's exactly what's happening. This is going straight onto your bottom line. What would that be worth? And it's a very healthy six-figure. It's a very healthy six-figure. And that's the first thing that moves when your foreman capacity gap starts to shrink.
Andrew, just to wrap this up, there's probably a question that people are asking as well in regards to this whole idea of coaching, because it is going to take them off the floor at certain times. So how much risk and damage can that cause? Because you have to manage that process as well, because hopefully they can now see the end result and the benefits of doing it. But how do you manage that component of taking them away from the job for a period of time, whether it's an hour and a half here and there, or whether it's, you know, 2 or 3 hours at a time?
So this comes back to how well you load your workshop. And you can load the workshop in a way that facilitates the foreman having some, I don't like to use the word free time, but having some time allocated specifically for this. We do the coaching Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays simply because Mondays and Fridays are challenging enough. We have toe-in Monday and panic Friday, right? Toe-in Monday, there's all this unallocated or unexpected work rocks up, which is great. We love the work, but it loads the workshop in a way that, well, maybe we planned for, maybe we didn't plan for it. And then, of course, panic Friday, it's all got to be done. We've got to get, it's close that work in progress, close the week, you know, get stuff out, invoice, get the money in, right? It's a real thing. And so the foreman has enough to do on the Mondays and Fridays. And so typically we find Tuesday and Wednesday late morning is good because the day is already set and structured. There's an opportunity then for the foreman to go, well, do not disturb for a very short period of time, an hour-ish, and they can go and invest the time they haven't. Well, hopefully they haven't had the 1,000 spot fires to put out before they get into the training. So they're in a good mental state to be able to participate in the training, in the coaching, I should say. And the goal is that this is hardcore practical. Like if you can't use it, like you've got to understand structure, you've got to understand the tactics and strategy. Now that you understand what's going on, how do you do it? Well, yeah, that's what we talk about. And I point to some of the things that we've mentioned in this, you know, the TATS framework, the 1-3-1, the if I do this, if I would you kind of thing, if I do this for you, would you do that for me? Or can you help me here kind of thing? These are some of the basic frameworks that we teach, and they're not necessarily rocket science, but they're profoundly effective, and they all create those one percenters. And it's those one percenters that are the difference that makes the difference. With a couple of exceptions, the industry has emerged or evolved beyond, I can make a change and I see a 25% increase in my bottom line from one or two things. And look, it can happen, but usually those dealers are profoundly dysfunctional at some level. And I don't mean to be critical, but that's the reality. For the most part, dealerships are run wellish. They're goodish. They're not horrendous. They're not the nightmare operation that perhaps sometimes it sounds like I make them out to be. But it's this 1% and that 1% and that 1%. And before I know it, I've got a 7% movement. Now, some of that's top line, some of that's bottom line, but the net result is it's an improvement. And once I can move the needle in that regard, it's now, well, how do I keep the needle? How do I keep that gain? And these are the sorts of discussions foremen are profoundly resourceful. Generally speaking, there's a couple that struggle, but profoundly resourceful. And so asking them that question, you'd be surprised at the brilliant ideas and the simple effectiveness that they come up with. Because they've had to learn this on cars, and a lot of those frameworks that they learned on cars map to people and map to systems particularly.
So Andrew, just to wrap things up, I know you've got a boot camp that you can tell people about. We will include details in the show notes about it, but do you want to fill everyone in?
I run a series of boot camps specifically for workshop foremen, and we unpack there is actually, well, not hundreds, but 46 different frameworks or thereabouts that we cover when we do the professional foreman method. So we unpack some of those or parts of some of those in the boot camp, and we typically target the ones that are causing the foreman the most harm or the most grief or the most stress or doing the most head damage for the foreman. And so we do boot camps semi-regularly. So if you've heard this, I'd encourage you to encourage your foreman to go and check us out. If you look up Solutions Culture on the internet, I'm pretty easy to find, or look up me, Andrew Uglow, on LinkedIn. We want foremen to perform because it's all the difference that makes the difference, and it's low-hanging fruit.
Thank you for listening to the Frictionless Workshop podcast. For details on how to get Andrew working with you and your technicians, take a look at the show notes. There's also a link to some special content you can access. I'm Anthony Pearl, reminding you to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.